You're listening to Storylines, and here's your host, Christine Cowley.
Good morning, and welcome to Storylines. This is Christine Cowley. Thank you for joining us this morning. Our guest this morning is author Marjorie Simmons, who joins us on the phone this morning from her home in Vancouver, near Vancouver. Marjorie, I'm so pleased you could join us this morning.
Good morning, Christine. I'm delighted to be talking with you.
Marjorie, you've just celebrated the West Coast launch of your new book, Year of the Horse. And I say West Coast because you actually enjoy homes on both the East and West Coasts of Canada. And those landscapes and lifestyles figure very prominently in your writing. So can you share, Marjorie, a little with the listeners about your interesting lifestyle, living by turns on opposite shores?
Well, I can tell you that I certainly never expected to have such an adventurous life, even though that tends to be the way I take life on. But at any rate, yes, I was raised in Vancouver and was here, had my writing career as a journalist, started here and so on, went to all levels of school and so on. And then I interviewed a particular fellow by the name of Silver Donald Cameron. I interviewed him for the what was then called the UBC Alumni Chronicle, and is now called Trek, and it's the alumni magazine. He was being interviewed as a distinguished alumna. Alumni.
Yeah.
I always get those Latin terms wrong. At any rate, so Don and I did strike up a conversation and then a friendship and so on. And it turned out that I did indeed marry the Maritimes and Don
yes.
Cameron. So I have my life on both coasts. I wasn't willing to really sort of disappear out of the West Coast entirely. And when people say, well, are you a West Coast writer? Are you an East Coast writer? And I say, can I just not call myself a Canadian writer? Because I have this great privilege of loving the two coasts the way I do.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the irresistible Silver Donald, who wouldn't live on both coasts with Silver Donald?
Well, I certainly found him so, and
yes.
It was one of the best decisions I ever made.
Yeah, and you know, Coastal Lives, your previous book, actually shares those years of choosing and adjusting to that two-shore life. And that book, Coastal Lives, is a work of memoir that you actually wrote during the time you were completing your master's in memoir studies research. And your new book, Year of the Horse, is also a memoir, and this time you share with us your life as a horse rider and devotee, as I like to say, because horse lover really doesn't cover it. So tell us.
That's right. I guess you could call me a serial memoirist. You know, I gather we're quite numerous, and it's certainly something that type of nonfiction writing has always appealed to me. I've done personal essays all my life and so on. And in fact, yes, Coastal Lives did begin life as a thesis for my MA from Mount St. Vincent in Halifax, and then did morph into a book. That had always been my plan and hope, although you never know how these things are going to work out. So that was terrific that it did unfold the way I had hoped. And so basically Coastal Lives was, yes, my struggle with leaving the West Coast and becoming knowledgeable about the East Coast and then coming to love it. You know, I mean, there is a process to these things. You don't just, you rarely, it takes time to know and understand a region, and I wouldn't say that I know it as well as I know my West Coast, but I love it dearly. And Year of the Horse, which came out this year, is again another nonfiction work, and maybe a little heftier in the nonfiction aspect, in that I've written it both for horse people, for lack of a better phrase, and for anyone really who's had a difficult time, because this book is not limited to people who know and understand horses. It's very much an adventure book, and if you know nothing about horses, you'll be quite comfortable reading it. If you know quite a bit about horses, you're going to smile all the way through. So I did try and keep it open in a general way.
And I could certainly support that, because I'm not a horse person. I actually have a terrible fear of horses, but I was so engaged with the story. And as you say, it's an adventure. And, you know, you don't need to I mean, I love animals, and so it was easy to relate to how you feel about horses. That part was easy. But the central theme of Year of the Horse is your journey back to riding after a very long and painful recovery from a serious fall from a horse. And can you share a little bit about how your accident altered basically everything in your life?
Well, yes, it was a bunch of ironies all piled one on top of the other, because I had had some time away from horses, having ridden all my life. I had been a horse owner. I had leased horse for many years out in the West Coast and so on. But when I went to Cape Breton in 1997, I wasn't in a horse area. I really wasn't around a lot of horse people, and I also had an awful lot on my plate in terms of, you know, again, getting to know the region, the new people, and so on. And so horses sort of slid onto the back burner. And when we moved back to Halifax some 10 years later, I did find a barn not too far away, and I started back riding, and I was having a good time, if a bit overwhelming, because I really wasn't in very good shape, and I was, you know, trudging along, doing my best, but I was making progress and feeling good. And then I had an accident, and really it was nothing particularly unusual. Mm-hmm. What had happened, it was a very windy day, a big gust of wind sort of pounded against the roof of the indoor arena. The horse bolted, and I remember thinking, oh dear, not good, but I can manage. And then he deked, which means he simply turned to the right very, right, very sharply, and I got chucked about 20 feet. I landed badly. That's the problem there, is I landed very, very badly, and I compressed my spine and did a huge amount of soft tissue damage to my entire, well, particularly the right-hand side of my body where I landed with the greatest impact. And no, I didn't get up, and yes, I had to be carted off in the ambulance, and it was really quite, quite dreadful altogether. But as I was healing, it seemed, again, more ironies, the way I chose to heal was to replace stories about my horses in my mind that brought me pleasure and just, you know, reminiscing in a nice, warm way. And so that's one of the reasons I started to heal, was thinking, you know, that horse didn't mean to hurt me. It was just, you know, it's what horses do. Mm-hmm. They flight or fight, and they by far prefer flight, you know.
Yes.
And so I realized that if I was going to heal in any kind of comprehensive way, I had to go back. I had to get back in that saddle, because I couldn't give up a lifetime of riding with my face in the dirt. That is just so anti-horse person that mm-hmm. I can't even describe it to you. But it doesn't matter how badly you're hurt, you really have to get back, even if you just sit on the saddle. But, of course, I had much, much greater plans than just sitting there.
Yes, yeah, and I love the way that you explain horse terms so that people like me don't feel left behind in any way. And you talk about, in easily understandable terms, you talk about recovering your seat.
Yes, it's a bit of a funny term, isn't it? But recovering your seat is basically, your seat is what you have when you're on the horse. It's your balance, it's your strength, it's your coordination, it's how you look at, as you're sitting up there. And when I say I had lost my seat, that was because I had lost my core strength, and gosh knows I had lost my nerve. You know, so it was a bit of a struggle to come back in all those areas. But one thing I need to underscore here at this point is, you know, I'm an every woman. I'm not a particularly spectacular athlete or anything like that. And even when I was a good rider, and I'll put that in quotes, as a much younger woman, I still wasn't, you know, cleaning up in show rings or anything else like that. And the key here for the comeback that I did make, which really there's no getting around, it was quite spectacular. The key here is that I had two coaches who cared very much about me,
yeah,
really wanted to see me come back to a level that I was, you know, happy about and pleased with and so on. And I also got to ride their horses, which, you know, they were spectacularly well trained and good, safe horses. So that was the key. And I would say to anybody who is even, you know, thinking about coming back to riding or whatever it might be, is find yourself a top-notch coach or instructor of some sort, and make sure you and that you agree with their, I don't know, their style, you know?
Yes.
And so that was the key for me, because I'm certainly not some spectacular sportsman. I'm an able rider.
Yeah. Marjorie, we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about memoir writing, because I know we have listeners out there who are either working on a memoir or have thought about writing a memoir at some point, and For our listeners out there, if that's you, I've got to say, do yourself a huge favor and read Marjorie Simmons' Year of the Horse, because I can certainly say, having worked so long in the genre of memoir, this is how it should be done, what Marjorie has done in Year of the Horse. Because, Marjorie, you not only write beautifully from your own life, but you teach us how to do it. We're going to get into that a little bit more in the second half. So when we come back, we're going to be continuing to speak with Marjorie Simmons, and we're going to talk some more about Year of the Horse, her latest book, and about how to write memoir well. You're listening to Storylines on the Bay, Hunter's Bay Radio. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Storylines. Today we're speaking with author Marjorie Simmons. And Marjorie, before the break, I described Year of the Horse as an example of how memoir should be written. And by that, I mean that it contains all the essential components of good storytelling.
Well, thank you very much for your generous response to Year of the Horse. I'm so pleased, particularly, I think, because you're not a horse person.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, horse people will flock to this book, but I also want people who flock to adventure and challenge to come to the book as well. And in terms of its presentation as a memoir, I started out writing journals all my life, and I've got a lot of letters, even now, snail mail letters and so on. So I think the voice that you are reacting to is that voice. It's almost a talking to myself sort of voice.
Uh-huh.
It's very inclusive. And I don't know, there's just no barriers, or at least I try not to put any barriers between my story and the reader. I want them right there by my side.
Yes, and I was so engaged, because even though I have had almost zero exposure to horses, what drew me in as a reader was your deeply personal style of writing that kept me really close to your experience and seeing through your eyes. But we never cross the line into oversharing. And I know that's one of the questions and one of the challenges in writing memoir. And I often ask, how much emotion and truth should we share in a work of memoir? Can you give us a few tips on that, Marjorie?
Well, sure. Basically, what you're talking about is good writing. And so if I see a sentence that says, you know, I was so overcome that I sat and wept for a week and I couldn't believe how dreadful I felt and da-da-da-da-da, instead all you need is one sentence, I couldn't work.
Right, yeah.
Or whatever it might be, you have to go for, you know, let the reader do some of the work, for heaven's sakes, because they too will have had difficult periods in their life and so on, and they know you sat down for a week and wept, but you don't really have to put it out in those sorts of words. You know, you have to look for something a little bit more fresh, a little bit, you know, more concise. So I think that's what you mean by oversharing, because we can all say, oh, goodness me, this person is going on. And you don't want that response,
yeah.
Obviously, to your writing. You want to have
that's
them
it.
Turning the pages thinking, you know, is she going to succeed? Is this going to work out well? You want tension. You want foreshadowing. You want all the literary devices that you would find in a novel or any other good bit of writing, that you've got to have a beginning, middle, and end, and all those sorts of things that you learned years ago when you were writing an essay
yeah.
in high school or whatever it might be. But I think that's what you mean by oversharing. You really want to keep the tension tight and the interest high, and that takes really careful writing and lots of rewriting.
Yeah, and good editing. And again, one of the, of course, the rules of writing is show, don't tell, and that's what you've just described. I couldn't work. Well, you're showing the depths of despair that you felt. I couldn't work, right?
So that's exactly right, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, again, even though we're writing memoir, we still need well-drawn characters. We still need protagonist with yearning, and we need an inciting incident. We need a story arc. These are all things that exist in our own stories, that exist in memoir, but we need to draw them in there for the reader so that they're accessible.
Absolutely, and that's where, again, I would suggest that, you know, if a person has an interest in memoir writing, that they would hopefully have had some time with a journal. Because what you're, again, you're reacting to is that very personal voice that I would have in the journal. But ultimately, it's not a journal. It is a memoir. It is a piece of art, and it has to be treated that way as you work with it.
Yes, yeah. And, of course, if our listeners do want to learn more about writing memoir, you actually offer manuscript evaluation and workshops. Tell us more about the services that you can actually offer people.
Well, thank you for that, Christine. Basically, I am mostly situated in the Maritimes, so I do seminars throughout the year around the province, usually at absolutely gorgeous venues, you know, national historic sites and so on, and that we have quite an inspiring venue to do our work and so on. I hope to do something while I'm out here in D.C., in Vancouver this time, because I've got a number of people asking me to do that, so I'm looking into that possibility. And so basically, I do them wherever. I'm a typical freelancer. I will teach wherever I am, you know, but primarily at this point, it is in the Maritimes. In the new year, however, to make myself more accessible and just for the challenge of designing a course, I am going to be offering some online courses for memoir writing, and that would probably be along the lines of, you know, experienced, not so experienced, and or working, as you say, with a manuscript or somebody that's already got a good start on their story. So the online offerings I do hope to have available fairly soon in the new year. And the best way a person could find out about that is to put themselves on an email list, and I'll simply keep people apprised about that.
And they can also go to www.marjoriesimmons.ca, and I want to spell Simmons, Marjorie, because it's a little unusual. So it's Marjorie, it's Marjorie Simmons with an I. So SimmimIns.ca, MarjorieSimmons.ca, and you can find out more about where Marjorie is in Canada and how you can enjoy some of her huge, huge talent in helping you work on your own memoir, and also enjoy reading. Oh, I've enjoyed so many of your articles as well, Marjorie, and Year of the Horse is truly should be on. I've actually recommended it to a local book club, because it should be on everyone's reading list for 2017. And you're also available as a keynote speaker.
Yes, I am, because I love talking about writing. I really, really do, although I don't restrict myself just to that, but I like to talk. One area of interest is women's health and writing, because I really feel that writing can give so much to somebody who is dealing with a particular struggle in their life and so on. So I like to have a good time. I like to laugh and really do like to talk about writing, that's for sure.
And you've certainly been there in terms of recovering your health. It was a huge fall. It was a huge recovery period, and a beautiful book emerged.
Well, thank you. I'm so appreciative of your response to it, because you don't know when you're working away in the dark of your little office how people are going to respond to anything, you know. But I do try to sort of talk to the everyman, the everywoman, because that's exactly who I am. And, you know, in terms of a writer, I wasn't anybody, you know, who was particularly prominent in the show world or anything else like that. I'm just a regular freelance journalist and writer, and who has the same ups and downs as a lot of people. But for me, the only way to deal with those things is with my writing.
Yes. Marjorie, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's really been a pleasure to speak with you.
Oh, it's been absolutely grand. Thank you so much for asking me on the show.
We've been speaking this morning with author Marjorie Simmons about her latest book, Year of the Horse, published by Pottersfield Press and available at bookstores now and, of course, online. And remember this Christmas that our real-life bookstores really need our support. And who doesn't love to browse their favorite bookstore? So please try to help keep our bookstores alive and well by choosing bricks and mortar whenever you can. I'm Christine Cowley, host of Storylines, and I'm here every Thursday morning at 10:05 a.m. talking to authors and book folks about books and the writing life. Thank you so much for listening.